O Father in heaven, there is no one like you. You are holy, 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 and the whole earth is full of your glory. You are the one who is, who was, and is to come, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Father, I pray that we would see the unspeakable privilege it is to be in a relationship with you, the God of the universe. And thank you that you have made it possible for us to be brought near to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we praise him this morning for his sacrifice on our behalf and his intercession for us as guilty sinners. We also praise you for the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who draws us near to you, who tells us and reminds us that we are truly your children. And I pray that our service today and the sermon would be a fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would receive honor today. I pray that you give us understanding into your word so that we may know you better. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our text today is Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. Psalm 27, read the whole psalm. This is God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As our country recovers from more mass shootings, I think we all hurt for those who are affected by the tragic events, but also we wonder with the rest of the country what can be done to stop these tragic events from happening again. But as I read the news and the commentary on the shootings, don't you ever wonder, what would I do if I was in that same situation? If you go to Walmart, this one down here, in Olean, and you're shopping for Doritos, and a gunman opens fire and starts killing people, what would you do? How would you feel? I think we would probably flee in terror, screaming for our lives, or would you stand boldly and try to save others from the gunman? Or would you actually try to stop the man who is bent on murdering others? Would you wonder what would happen to you if a bullet pierced your heart and you died? Would you worry about your friends and family, perhaps in the store, or wonder what would happen to them if you died? Or would you stand boldly and say, I'm ready, Lord, take me now? Psalm 27 would be a psalm for such an occasion. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. We as Western Christians may face very few truly terrifying situations in life. I'm sure we've all been afraid at times, but think about our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ across the world who are perhaps hunted down by their neighbors or have to do church in secret lest they be arrested by the police and thrown in jail for who knows how long. For many of us, our fears are the low-grade anxieties of modern life, such as the state of the economy, the government, the future of our jobs, and the replacement of our knees and hips. I think we all have these low-grade, you know, modern anxieties. It's not that we may be invaded by an army. It's some of these day-to-day things. Whenever we experience fear, whatever it may be, sometimes we stand boldly and say, I don't care. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And other times we're like, and just kind of want to run away. Whatever we may feel in response to our fears, God is the Christian's salvation and the strength of our lives. Psalm 27 urges us to get our confidence from God, whether we feel like a lion or a mouse in the face of fear. Fear will keep us from being the person God wants us to be. So this is the reason I'm preaching on Psalm 27. I don't want fear to keep you from being the Christian that God wants you to be, nor do I want fear keeping us from being the church that Christ wants us to be. So I want us to own up to our fears and find confidence in God. From Psalm 27. Psalm 27 has four sections. It begins and ends with cries of confidence. Verses 1 to 3 are a battle cry of confidence. Okay, a cry of confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? But at the end, verses 9 to 14 are a cry for confidence. Help me, God. Give me confidence. In the middle of the psalm, we find two anchors for our confidence. So when we are afraid, where do we find confidence? So first, we're going to look at the two cries for confidence, and then two anchors for our confidence. So two cries of confidence, number one, is confidence in the fortress, verses 1 to 3. When you read verses 1 to 3, it sounds like this person has no problem with fear. He is a bold man. I imagine that he is speaking these words from the top of a castle wall. And his enemies are way below. And he's like, nah, 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 you can't get me, you know. You bad guys can't touch me, is really what he's saying in verses 2 and 3. In the second line of verse 1, the King James says, the Lord is the strength of my life. This word strength can also be translated stronghold or fortress. So I want you to imagine a castle. Back in Israel, they would probably be rocky caves in mountains. But for our purposes, we can imagine a castle wall. And the person's on top of the castle wall and says, you can't touch me because God is my strength and my fortress. In these first three verses, the psalmist believes, but he also feels that God is his unassailable mountain fortress. I love how the psalm begins because it's not that God is light and salvation and fortress and strength. He is my salvation and my light and my strength. The psalmist is not bold because he is strong and mighty. He is bold because God is strong and mighty for him. So that's a cry of confidence in God. But secondly, we have a cry for confidence at the end of the psalm. And this is confidence in the battle. Unfortunately, we don't always feel like we're on top of a castle wall and that we can stick out our tongues at the bad guys. Sometimes we feel like we are in the middle of an all-out war and we are about to be struck down by some menacing dude with a very large sword. I'm not saying literally, but sometimes that's how we respond to our fears. We want to cower. Notice verses 9 to 12. And listen for the change in tone. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. So this tone, this is spoken by someone who is in the midst of the battle and needs help and is crying for confidence. Do not hide your face from me. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Do not deliver me to the will of my enemy. Now, verse 13, I believe, is key in understanding the tone and attitude of the psalmist. Now, the New King James has, for verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, other translations have a variety of beginnings for verse 13. Now, the original language is a bit complicated, but the key thing is that there is a word that shows a wish or something tentative. And here's a translation I think that brings to the forefront what verse 13 is saying. Oh, that I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He wished that he was as confident as he was in verses 1 to 3. Oh, I wish that I had believed. Let's be honest. We often look back and wish we had trusted God more. Like, God was faithful again. Surprise. He said he was going to be faithful, and we failed to trust him. Do you think when you come to the end of your life, when you stand before the throne of God in worship and praise, that you will say, man, I wish I had more confidence in my abilities when I was on earth? No, when we see God face to face and are praising him, we're going to say, oh, I wish I would have trusted him more. Our problem is often misplaced confidence. Not that we don't have any confidence, it's misplaced. The world would say, believe in yourself, believe in your abilities and your wisdom. And God says, believe in me and my power. So if you're doubting God's power, it's probably because you're in love with your own ability and power and wisdom. A confident Christian is quite unassured of themselves and their abilities, but very sure of God and his abilities. In real life as Christians, we will struggle to find our confidence in God. That's why I love how the psalm ends. We're not always on top of a castle wall and able to stick our tongues out at the bad guys. But sometimes we're in the midst of a battle and we want to cower in fear. When we're cowering in fear before whatever God places in our life that we're afraid of, whether that be a minor medical difficulty or a life-changing situation, or a gunman in Walmart, whatever it may be, there are two anchors that God gives us to hold us strong in the storms of unbelief and fear. So, two anchors. Number one is seeking God's house. Seeking God's house. Look at verses 4 to 6. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So, first anchor for your confidence is seeking God in his house. So God's house is first a place of worship. Now, in the Old Testament, God had a specific place where his people were to worship him together. That was the tabernacle or the temple later. And the worship there was what grounded God's people, gave them confidence that there truly is a God and that he would be their shelter. Today, we don't have a special place to worship God. We're like, wait a minute. This is a church building. It's set aside to worship God in. That is very true. But in the New Testament, God says, where do I dwell? I dwell with my people. So this building is special today because God's people are here. And God says, I dwell in and with my people, the church. So wherever we meet as a church, that place is special. We are special because we are God's people. But God's house is more than where he meets with us on this earth. Think about the very end of Psalm 23, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? Well, it's that looking forward to when we will be with God and worship him forever in the place where he dwells. So, the desire to dwell in the house of the Lord can be satisfied as we gather with other Christians in worship, but also as we look forward to worshiping God forever in heaven. So we can ground our confidence in God meeting with his people to worship him. Don't expect to be a confident Christian if you choose to neglect meeting with God's people to worship him. And let's be practical. You know, like, we have other services besides Sunday morning. If you're saying, I am a fearful person, God has given an anchor for you to be with his people. So come out Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, get together with other Christians and pray. Seek God's face together. The second anchor, then, is to seek God's face. Verses 7 and 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. The reason the author went to God's house to worship him was to see God. So these anchors are kind of one anchor. It's God. The reason he would engage in private worship was to see more of God. Now, we can all come to church for a number of different reasons. Perhaps you're one of those people who cannot not come to church, like you're impelled by habit and tradition to be here. And that's a good habit to have. Maybe when you come to church, you feel like you can make God happy with you because you're in church and not at home. Maybe you like the music. Maybe you like talking to your friends. Maybe you like the food that we occasionally serve up. Whatever your reason for coming to church, it will not give you confidence in God unless it is this reason, that you want more of God. Now, the same goes for the hope of going to God's house in heaven. The hope of heaven is not just that we will escape hell. It is not just that we will be free from physical and emotional pain and all the brokenness of this world. The hope of heaven is that we will be forever with God, that we will see him face to face and get to know more of him day after day for all eternity. Let's think to your quiet time, if you have one, a time where you read your Bible and pray on a daily basis. Now again, we read our Bibles and pray for a number of reasons. Maybe it's a habit. It's merely a habit. It's a good habit to have. Maybe you read your Bible and pray personally so that you feel good about yourself. Maybe you think that God is more happy with you when you read your Bible. Maybe you're concerned if you don't read your Bible and pray that God's going to zap you during the day, you'll have an accident. Like, oh, I didn't read my Bible. I have to be careful today. Maybe you read your Bible and pray because of the feeling of peace that you have because of the solitude and habit, you know? There's some habits that are just very peaceful because you're in a, doing a routine and it's quiet. Maybe you read your Bible and pray because you want to find a certain answer to a problem in your life. But the reason that we should read our Bibles and pray is to seek God's face, to spend time listening to Him and talking with Him, to get to know Him better. So my hope for you, for us, is that as we come to church and as we read our Bibles and pray during the week, that we would do it for this reason in verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. So the goal of your church attendance, the goal of your quiet time, the goal of going to heaven is so that you would get more of God. And that seeking of God, His face, His presence, that is what will anchor us in the face of our fears. So I want to go into two applications for us as a church. And the first one comes off of what we just talked about the goal of church and quiet time is that we will get more of God. So number one, the gospel gives us God, not just benefits. The gospel gives us God, not just benefits. So here at Allegheny Baptist Church, we talk about the gospel a lot. It's the reason we had our vacation Bible school a few weeks ago, so that we could tell children about the gospel. Now, when we share the gospel, let us be sure that we offer God as the goal of the gospel. So the gospel can be presented in this way. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior from your sins, you will go to heaven. That's absolutely true. But that is not all the gospel. The good news that the Bible proclaims is that trusting Jesus as your Savior gets you God. Of course it gets you heaven. Of course it forgives your sins. But trusting Jesus ultimately gets you God. Now 1 Peter 3:18 puts it this way. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. That's the goal. You get rid of sin so that you can be brought back to God. Now, sometimes we talk about trusting Jesus as we would talk about buying a new car or signing up for a timeshare. Maybe you've had to sit through one of those timeshare presentations where they talk about all the benefits that are available and to sign on the dotted line and pay an inordinate amount of money per year and all these things are yours. That's not how we should talk about salvation. Now, let's be clear. Being saved has incredible benefits. But the whole point of trusting Jesus as your Savior is that you would come back to God. And He's the one who created you and loves you. One pastor put it this way. God is the gospel. So the point of sharing the gospel with others is so that they would believe in Jesus and be in a right relationship with God. Now again, it's perfectly fine to talk about the benefits of salvation. I mean, it's fantastic that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. It's fantastic that we get delivered from this earth that is and this body that are filled with sin and suffering. But the ultimate goal of the gospel, of being saved, is that we get God. Now, maybe you've grown up in the church, or perhaps you've attended here for a time. If talking about seeking God and His beauty, or desiring to spend time with Him, is foreign to you, I want you to consider today that you may not truly understand the gospel. Believing in Jesus brings you into a real relationship with the living God. Believing in Jesus is not a contract where you acknowledge him and then he provides heaven when you die. I'm not saying you need to be all sappy about Jesus and call him your boyfriend, okay? Sometimes there's that language. And there is some very personal language in the Bible about our relationship with God. And you can see it in the Psalms. But everyone has different personalities. But you don't have to be warm and sappy about Jesus if that's not your personality. But if Psalm 27 in its language is completely foreign to you, consider that you may not be a Christian. Verse 4 again. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Your desire as a Christian should be to come to church to get more of God, to read your Bible and pray to get more of God, and to go to heaven so that you can have more of God. That's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He counts everything as rubbish so that he may know Jesus Christ his Lord. And I really hope that that is your desire, that you know more of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Because God loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you to win you back to himself. So if you give up your sins and trusting in yourself and trust Jesus, you can come back to God where you belong. So the second application for us as a church is this. God gives us confidence for ministry, not just ourselves. God gives us confidence for ministry, not just ourselves. Maybe it's easy to see in other people's lives and harder to see in our lives, but fear can really paralyze us from living as we should, from being the person that God wants you to be and from being the church that God wants us to be. Fear is rooted in unbelief. So when you're fearing something that you should not fear, it's because you are not trusting the promises of God as you ought. As we draw close to God and trust him, he will give us the confidence to face the battles in this world. I think that fear is such an ugly thing in our lives, is that we feel like the goal of getting rid of fear is feeling better because we're not plagued by fear. So God doesn't give us confidence just so that we can have full, productive, comfortable lives that are not ridden with fear. God gives us confidence so that we would minister to others and to the world. Think about how maybe you're an extrovert and love meeting people. I'm not that kind of person. But think about how, at least in my life, how fear keeps me from meeting other people. Like, just rather just go around them and not meet them. Maybe that's you. And you see what that does to your life. You're afraid of meeting people. If you're afraid of that, let alone, let's think about the fear of telling others about Jesus. So this fear keeps us from being the people that God wants us to be, that we should love one another, love our neighbor, and tell others, tell all creation about the gospel. It is not timid people who sign up to take the gospel to unreached people around the globe. Now, we may put our missionaries on a pedestal. It's like, wow, they would leave here and go over to a foreign country. Believe me, they are quite ordinary. My parents were missionaries, and they're quite average. And all of our missionaries would say, I am a completely normal Christian. But they believe that God is on their side, and that gives them the confidence to go and face the fears of going to another country. This is the attitude of people who have confidence of God. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. It is an awful thing to have those kind of rifts in your family or to lose a loved one to death. But think about this. How many times have we kept our family members happy instead of doing what God makes God happy? Because we are afraid. Whatever your father and your mother or your brothers and sisters may reject you, but God will never reject you. God will always take you in. That's the kind of confidence that we have. Even when you face those difficult family relationships, you may think that you are stuck with your fears forever. Like, I'm just this way. Well, you may have a certain personality until you die, but do not think that the fears that keep you from obeying the commands of God are yours forever. Now, without the intervention of God, they will plague you until you die. You do not have what it takes inside of you to overcome the fears that paralyze you. You don't. You absolutely do not have what it takes to overcome those fears. But God does. That's why we're here today, saying, God, I don't have what it takes, but you do. As a church, we don't have what it takes to take the gospel to a hostile world, but God does. That's why Sunday after Sunday, we offer you Jesus and his promises from God's word. That's why I hope day after day that you seek God in his word and in prayer, so that the presence of God would be your confidence in this fear-filled world. God is our anchor. Yes, we are scared, timid people, but God can be our confidence. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess that we do not trust your promises as we ought. We confess that we are often fearful of things we should not be fearful of. And I pray that you would reveal that to us and that you would help us to find confidence in you. I pray, Father, where we fall short, which is pretty much everywhere, that you would show your power and your strength to us as Christians and to us as a church. And I pray that you would give us the strength and confidence to take the gospel to a hostile world and to live out your commands before people who do not love you. So, Father, fill us with your confidence because you are our light in our salvation. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.